Why would I make them so uncomfortable?
It probably has to do with your reputation. They feel your methods, your theories are...
spooky? Do you think I'm spooky?
His face was so blank and expressionless. He didn't even seem human.
I'm not turning my back on anyone!
Have you ever found a metal implant in your body? Have you checked everywhere?
Mulder, you have to understand!
Put it down!
You put it down first!
Scully!
Hi, everybody!
Hello!
Welcome to a free episode.
Oh, man.
Of Fox. Mulder is a Maniac.
You can hear the freeness. You can hear it.
You can hear the freeness. We're free. Mm-hmm. This is America.
Mm-hmm.
We're free. My name is David Bell.
I'm Tom Ryman.
We are the hosts of this show, which
yeah.
I don't know if you're keeping up with it, but this is a normally exclusive show on our Patreon.
Yeah, patreon.com/gamefullyunemployed.
That's correct. And we're giving you a free episode because it's a very special one.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, this show we go through, we've been rewatching The X-Files.
Yeah, we're doing a chronological rewatching of The X-Files, specifically to cast a critical eye on exactly how crazy the character Agent Fox Mulder is in each episode.
That's correct. We're up to...
And he's very crazy.
Yeah, quite. Too crazy, one would say.
If you've ever wanted to just change the way that you watch The X-Files, watch the show with this in mind, and it makes it an entirely different show.
Absolutely. We're up to Season 2, Episode 5, otherwise known as Dwayne Barry.
Dwayne Barry.
It's a big deal, you guys.
Yeah.
This is shot during Gillian Anderson's pregnancy. It's it's the infamous, first parter of the abduction of Agent Scully.
Yeah.
They
had to write her out temporarily because she was having a baby.
Yeah, that's why in the shot in this episode where she goes to the supermarket, she's buying pickles and ice cream, which is a pregnancy joke, apparently.
Yeah, yes, that's true.
Yep. This is features Steve Railsback, who plays Dwayne Barry. Apparently, I'm looking at the official guide to the X-Files right now.
The religious text.
Yeah, apparently he played Charlie Manson in the Helter Skelter, the TV movie.
Oh, no kidding. Yeah, I can see that.
Yeah, this also earned CCH Pounder a Emmy nomination for her role as Agent Kasdan.
Probably her first of more than one.
Oh, yeah.
She's been 100%. All over the place.
But yeah, this is a big deal. It's directed by Chris Carter. It is Mulder at, I don't know, I would say one of his craziest moments. This is about a guy named Dwayne Barry, who is an alien abductee, and he takes his doctor hostage to go make him get abducted. But he doesn't know where to go, so he stops at a travel agency.
It's very 1994.
Yes.
He basically takes a travel agency full of people hostage so that he can figure out where to go, because he can't remember exactly where the aliens took him.
Right.
It's someplace in Virginia.
Yep. And so Mulder is called in to negotiate the hostage's release, even though he's never done this before.
We're going to talk about that a whole lot.
We're going to talk about that a whole lot. And basically what happens is he manages to get the best of old Dwayne Barry, who calls himself Dwayne Barry. He talks about himself like The Rock in the third person.
And sir, it's kind of a neat character choice. He stops doing it when his guard is down, so it's like a defense mechanism.
Right. He turns out he's an ex-FBI agent who was shot in the line of duty. Mulder manages to save the day.
Kind of.
Yes. And then Dwayne Barry escapes from the hospital, and the episode ends with Scully looking out her window, and there's Dwayne.
And he's just peering in, like, not...
He's not menacingly. He looks like he's lost.
He looks like he's lost. Yeah, it's a startling shot because she peeks through her blinds and there's just a man right there. But, like, he doesn't look menacing. He, like, legit looks like he's trying to see if anybody's home so he can use the phone.
Yeah. It's weird. It's like they didn't give him the proper direction.
Right. He wasn't expecting to...
Yeah, it's like he didn't know they were shooting.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's more or less the episode. It features some classic Mulder moments, specifically
the Speedo.
It's the first and last time we see Mulder in a Speedo.
It is not the last time.
It's not.
Mm-mm. He's wearing that Speedo to sleep in the episode Mulder and Scully Meet the Weremonster.
Oh, shit. Mm-hmm. That makes sense. That makes sense why they would do that.
Yeah.
They brought back the Speedo because they knew it was kind of a meme.
Yeah, it's become sort of a meme.
Yeah, because we get to see as much of Mulder as we ever will.
Yeah.
We see about 98% of Mulder.
You see most of Mulder.
Yeah. Yeah, you get as much Mulder as you need.
There's a couple of notes I had right up top that don't really fit into any of our categories.
Sure. Yeah.
One is that the cold open of the episode shows Dwayne Barry's second abduction
uh-huh.
in 1985. And it's like filling his house with, it like pans out. It looks a lot like the Independence Day shot of the aliens blowing up the White House.
Yes.
With this flying saucer in full view in just a regular suburban neighborhood, blasting down this blinding cone of light and Dwayne Barry screaming like just continuously at the top of his lungs. This is the least subtle alien abduction in history.
Okay, I would argue that the show has up until this point talked about missing time.
Yeah.
I think this is the time that they're saying
right,
would be
sure.
missing.
Sure.
I think
it's just very funny.
Yeah, I think they're like the Men in Black, where they're not subtle at all and then they erase everybody's memory. But you're right. It takes a lot of the the mysteriousness out of alien abductions.
I don't know what it is. There's something deeply funny to me about aliens just walking into somebody's house to abduct them.
Yeah, well, there's something funny about them using the door. Like,
right. It's just like, what? What?
Yeah.
They just kind of come inside like the robbers and the people under the stairs. Or
it
like,
reminds me of...
What is this?
This is a weird reference. There's a Kellogg's Frosted Flakes commercial
Go
where
on.
A guy is playing catch with his son and Tony the Tiger is playing catch with them. And then they cut to them inside eating the Frosted Flakes. And I don't know why the commercial did this, but you can see the background and you can see their front door. And in the background, you can see Tony the Tiger open the door and walk in. And then it cuts to him like them like they're great. And it's like, wait, did he come into their house to do that? I thought he was magical. But no, he walked
the door.
And, yeah, he followed these people to their house. Jimmied the lock open. Opened the door to walk up and be like, they're great. To which
he's an 8-foot tiger. How do you expect him to get in the house?
It's just there's no magic whatsoever. And that's how I imagine these aliens are just like breaking the window and unlocking
right,
the door.
Yeah, they're like Jared Leto in Panic Room.
Yeah.
they're
like
smashing
Dwayne Barry at the end of this episode.
Yeah. Just they just throw a rock through the window and like reach in and unlock it.
Yeah, they don't have all the technology in the world.
Yeah, there's just you see them like beam down from their spaceship and like this it's an inconceivable technology that is in it's just magic to us, and then one of them just picks up a bat and smashes the window open.
Yeah.
Yeah, so there's just something very funny to me about Dwayne Barry waking up and there's aliens in his house. I'm like, you're in the house? You broke in?
You got in? And then later he reveals that government agents are there. So I assume they like met outside and was like they must have called ahead and be like, meet us outside this guy's house.
Oh, this was coordinated.
Yeah.
They had there was some liaising between various agencies. Also related to that, I think this is the first episode that explicitly ties the government with the aliens.
Yes, I think. I mean, yeah, they show
sort
the government
of, the
knows about
flask.
The aliens.
Yeah.
And they seem to be doing something, but this is the first time it's like, oh, they're like working together.
Yeah, no, you know what? It's not. In the Erlenmeyer flask, they do lay it out, but I think this is the first time we see it?
Maybe, yeah. And it's funny. It's funny to see guys in suits just standing
there. Yeah,
with
just
the
standing there watching this abduction.
Because it really implies, like, what do they say to each other before and after? What are, like,
are there, like, who's keeping notes? Like,
yeah.
Who's taking the notes of these?
Do they
like,
sign
some
contracts?
Sort of do they all have the same access to the same Google Drive?
Yeah. Do they know each other? Do they hang out?
Right. Do they recognize each other? Oh, this guy's good. You're going to like this guy. Don't talk to that alien. One. He's a prick.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. They just worked. Because when the idea that it's like, oh, the government's working with aliens, I think like, oh, they're like communicating through some like weird radio transmissions and like they sort of work with them, but they don't really do it. You know, they don't bother each other, or it's like, mm-hmm. you know, they're letting them do their thing while they're doing covert research on the aliens or whatever. But no, they're just standing in the room with the aliens.
Yes.
In this.
It's just they're just explicitly just going with them on offsite operations.
Mm-hmm. Pretty weird. Pretty weird, guys.
Yeah, I want to know what their relationship is. I want to know like what the work emails look like.
Yeah.
In that relationship.
I assume they're very awkward. A lot mm-hmm. of references that no one's getting.
Mm-hmm.
So
somebody, we're not pointing fingers, but somebody mutilated a cow again in the break room.
Look, we know it's not our guys. We're not mad. You wanna get to the world's luckiest detective?
Let's get started. Let's get into world's luckiest detective.
Man, we haven't even started yet, guys. Mm-hmm. All right, so
much
again, this is
Blue
a free Bear. Episode. So if you haven't listened, this is us. This is us. Our section here is about just we found that Mulder lucks into a lot of his cases.
Right, he's not a good investigator so much that he just happens to make wildly fanciful guesses that are correct, or just stumbles upon or is handed the solution to the mystery.
In this case, it's him handing it. I don't have much for World's Luckiest Detective this round because it's just him. It's just Krycek walking up to him and being
Krycek
like,
walks up to him. In Speedo, Mulder's in full Speedo, and it's just like, hey, man, there's a hostage situation with some dude, and he's talking about aliens, LOL. You should probably check it out.
Right, and then there's, yeah, like, they called him, which I want to get to, but, like, yeah, they just sort of drag him into it, and then, lucky enough, this guy has been abducted by aliens.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's the reason they call him, but it's like, yeah.
But I mean, like, actually has been. Because we've talked about this before. There's what they don't show us is all the times... This doesn't work out.
The 38 out of 39 times that Mulder drives to some place in middle America to investigate an alien abduction, and it's just a guy who had a stroke out in the forest.
Yeah, exactly. and this time it is, in fact, alien abduction to the point that the aliens show up during the hostage situation.
I guess so. Like, that's such a weird moment in the episode.
All right, here's what I'm guessing. It's the equivalent of, like, calling someone at a bad time. The aliens were like, let's go get that Dwayne guy. And then they show up and they're like, oh, nope, bad time. It's a bad time.
Yeah, like they all piled into the pickup and they're like, dude, let's go by Dwayne's house.
Yeah.
And they like, swing by Dwayne's like, oh, it's a bad time.
Right. And the government's like, this is why we have that fucking Slack channel. So mm-hmm.
Yeah, this is
we
why
can coordinate
everybody
these
needs to check the Google Doc.
Yeah. We have a schedule. You would have seen.
We don't want to constantly be redoubling our efforts here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, fucking aliens. Sloppy aliens.
God damn aliens. Terrible at paperwork, aliens are.
Yeah.
They don't keep physical copies of too much of their data.
No. I mean, everything's psychic and stuff for
That's
them.
That's true.
We're the assholes, sort of.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we kind of are. We haven't evolved.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's all I have for World's Luckiest Detective.
Yeah.
It's really just the fact that... okay...
Yeah, well, other than the fact that why the hell would they bring Mulder into this case?
Here's actually
like it's
why.
Just be okay.
Because here's the thing, is if you take this episode just as is, there's a lot of questions. One being, why would Dwayne Barry show up at Scully's house? How does he know where Scully lives? Mm-hmm. That's very weird. But what it comes down to is the fact that what we later find out in the series is that this is all being planned. So that's actually what happened, I assume, is what happened is the woman in this must be in on it or was told to call Mulder in for this
CCH
specific
Pounder,
thing. Yeah, CCH Pounder.
Yeah.
And Krycek must have facilitated that because the government was like, we want to steal Scully. And they were like, the other government people are like, why? And they're like, I don't know.
Oh, no, we do know, because at the end of the last episode, when Krycek gives his report to the cigarette-smoking man, he's like, Scully's a huge problem, like, bigger than you anticipated, so we gotta take care of that.
Right, here's the thing about that, is I agree that's, okay, Scully's a problem. You're an assassin, aren't you, Krycek? Maybe shoot her.
Like, yeah, why did they come down to, I don't know, give her to the aliens?
Yeah. Why? Why would they do that? They're such
That'll be sure to throw Mulder, the guy who relentlessly pursues alien abduction cases.
Yeah, that'll discourage him.
Yeah.
What the fuck, Syndicate?
That won't just confirm everything he's ever believed in.
Right. So yeah, he's lucky in the sense that the government is so incompetent that they have decided that the best way to get rid of Scully is the most elaborate way anybody could ever get rid of somebody.
Right, like Krycek could have just killed her in like a botched mugging or something.
Right. Did they call the aliens or go on that Slack channel?
They must
and
have.
And they're like, listen, we need you to take care of this lady for us. And they're like, okay, I guess.
Because that's the only, it's clear at the end of the episode that like Dwayne Barry gets visited by the aliens again. So the aliens, seem to have told him to go kidnap Scully because he has no idea who Scully is.
No, they must have said like, look, we won't kidnap you if you go grab this lady. We've been told from the higher ups that we need her. We're going to get her pregnant or something, put a chip in her.
We're going to inflate her belly with some air.
Mm-hmm. And then we're going to let her go eventually, too, for reasons we're not sure. We don't know what these humans are doing. We're just patiently waiting until we can kill them all.
Right. Like, that's another thing this episode, I think we've mentioned it in past episodes, but like as the series goes on, they do as admirable a job as possible trying to tie in all of the alien abduction mythology into like this, what is the canon of the show, which
right.
is this conspiracy with the aliens and the government trying to create alien human hybrids so that the aliens can live on Earth. But some of it just doesn't make sense.
No,
and it's the general practice of abduction that doesn't make sense within.
No.
It's like, why on earth would they kidnap Dwayne Barry twice and fill him full of tracking devices and a barcode? And like, why on, like, what does that have to do with your secret cloning project? Like, why are you,
I think they got
these just asshole aliens?
Yeah, I like, think they got a lot of projects. I think that's like,
sure.
When we have like, when we like tag fish, like, I assume that's what that is. It's weird because it's like
how people live, I guess.
It's like when we tag fish, but we also are working with other fish, and the fish are telling us which fish to tag.
To build our own neighborhood under the sea that we're eventually going to go live in. So it's like we're tagging fish to see how fish live so that we know once we get down there.
Something like that, yeah. It's very confusing. And the final episode of, well, the ninth season, tries its darndest to connect it all, and they do an okay job, but my god,
it's clear it's tough.
Yeah, it's clear they didn't have any idea what they were planning when they were doing these episodes. But they do know the government's involved because this episode says it. So
yeah, and the Erlenmeyer flask, as we were saying earlier, establishes the government and the aliens are working together.
Right. I don't know, man. All I know is Mulder is involved somehow, and they're not murdering him. They're not murdering his partner.
Right. They're not just throwing him out of a helicopter somewhere in the mountains. Just whatever. There's so many ways you can get rid of this dude.
Yeah. You could just shoot him.
Right.
You can just shoot him and be like, hi, I'm the government. I'm shooting this man. And then you shoot him.
And it doesn't matter.
All right. We're out of here. Yeah. I don't know.
We have shot the man. Yeah. It's
every day Mulder lives is a miracle.
It really is.
For many reasons.
They always come up with some... Yeah, it's not just that he doesn't get assassinated by the government. It's that he doesn't somehow bumble into some fatal scenario.
He has almost died from autoerotic asphyxiation at least 20 times at this point.
And probably forgetting to feed himself.
Yes. Yeah. It's the whole spectrum.
Right.
Of ways like you can be found dead in your apartment.
He's like those kids that collapse at internet cafes without the internet.
Yeah. It's true. Oh, Mulder.
I guarantee Mulder goes for days where he just forgets to eat.
100%, which is why we should get into our next section.
Oh, yeah.
You all know what this is. And maybe you don't. Maybe you don't. Maybe this is your first time, but you're going to love it.
It's the first time for everyone.
Yeah. Guys, let's slide into Mulder After Dark. That's intense.
Stir that coffee.
Get some of that cream in there.
Yeah.
Should we just start?
So, yeah, so we see Mulder try out a lot of different forms of exercising throughout the series. Like, he jogged all in season one.
Yeah.
And now he's swimming for the first and only time we will ever see him do so.
Yeah, and later he gets into basketball, and that seems to stick.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, swimming does not stick. I think maybe David Duchovny on set was like, I'm not wearing this ever again.
I don't know, man. Wearing the Speedo seems to be like a thing Duchovny would have insisted upon.
Yeah, I could see him going to lunch holding full conversations while wearing the Speedo. They'd be like, you know, we could give you a robe. And he's like, no, that's okay.
And they do that scene where Krycek comes up to him and talks to him. And neither one of them is willing to acknowledge the fact that Mulder is wearing 2 centimeters of clothing.
Yes. It's just the, you know, it's the 90s. It's what people did. It's crazy. It's the crazy 90s. Mulder's either wearing too much clothes or too little clothes at any given time.
It's usually too much.
Yes. There was a couple episodes ago, he woke up on his couch with his button-down shirt unbuttoned and his jeans on. And it was like, what happened? You unbuttoned your shirt and then fell asleep? Like,
he collapsed in the middle of some
you
activity.
Didn't take off your whole shirt? What is going on in your life, Mulder? Yeah, he bought this Speedo. He saw this Speedo and was like, this is an okay thing for me to wear.
He's trying it out. That's what he's doing.
Yeah. Is that at like the FBI pool?
I feel like it's either that or the pool had other people swimming in it, and then Mulder showed up in his Speedo, and it just slowly cleared out as he kept doing laps.
Oh, yeah, and just talking to every woman. He is dressed to fuck.
Yeah, that's how Krycek found him, is that Mulder's name and description was all over the radio.
Right. I would also accept that that's like 3 in the morning. You just don't know with Mulder.
Right. that could be 4:30 a.m. on a Tuesday.
Yeah.
Mulder's just doing laps at the FBI.
Yeah. So he gets called to a hostage negotiation. He is immediately in over his head to the point that he's like, I've never done this before. And they're like, that's okay. We'll teach you. And it's
really?
Yeah, really? That's a bad idea.
Yeah, that's not.
That's a very bad idea. I kind of wanted to talk about this and name the enabler. But what I think is funny is I'm pretty sure that what's her name? CCH Pounder.
CCH Pounder.
I'm pretty sure she called Mulder because they needed someone who knew about UFOs.
Mm-hmm.
And she was referred to him and was like, okay, this is an FBI agent. I'm sure he's a normal person. We're just going to bring him in because he knows the lingo, but he'll be on our side. And he immediately just freaks out and starts preaching to them about aliens.
Right. He's like, do you want to know what they do to a woman's ovaries?
He says that
What
to
are
her.
You talking about?
He puts his face inches away from her face and says, quote, would you like to know what they do to a woman's ovaries? And it's like, at that moment, that woman should be like, okay, I think we're all set here.
Right, like he's talking about, like testimony from, like, prisoners of war.
Yeah, and she's like, look, this guy has hostages. We don't care about that, because why would they?
Right,
what are Mulder, you talking about right now, Mulder?
From Jump Street, Mulder prioritizes getting the story of the alien abduction.
Right.
Over the hostage situation. Like, that's what's important to him in this scenario.
And he's
is
like,
that we treat the alien abductee with dignity and respect. Like, that's his number one priority.
He completely goes off the script. He's like Robin Williams in Dead Poets Society. He's like, I'm going to change everything about hostage negotiations. And enables the shit out of Duane Barry.
And much like Dead Poets Society, somebody ends up getting shot.
Right. Very true. then they, okay, this, again, this probably also goes in Name the Enabler. Then they're like, we need to send someone in because a guy got shot. Hey, let's dress up the crazy FBI guy that clearly is intense about aliens. Let's dress him up like a paramedic and send him on in there.
I think they wanted him to jump on this grenade.
Yeah, that's probably true.
And I think they're just sort of setting him up because it's the only moment in the episode where Mulder actually makes sense is when he goes through the first call with Duane Barry going through the FBI script on hostage negotiation.
Yes.
And it pisses Duane Barry off because he knows the script because he used to be an FBI agent.
Right, and they didn't tell him.
And they didn't tell him that, so he gets off the phone and he's angry about it. And it's like the only thing he does that makes sense. But then he parlays that anger about, like, why didn't you tell me that he was an agent because he knows the script, so he's just like insulted and enraged by me reading it to him.
Right.
He goes immediately into, how dare you not treat this abduction scenario with respect? So it's like not even his one moment of like actual justifiable outrage can he sustain. Like he can't. It's so not important to him. Like,
oh, yeah.
The fact that he's negotiating for people's lives is secondary to like, I'm going to talk to this person who's been abducted by aliens and you're making it sound silly and it's serious.
Yeah.
You want to know what they do to ovaries? No, I don't.
No, and I frankly, I think it's very inappropriate. You just got that close to me while saying that.
Yeah.
Why did they dress him up like a paramedic?
I don't know, because he doesn't even pretend to be a paramedic for 3 seconds.
Yes. And we said this in the last episode, like his voice is very recognizable. So the moment he walks in, he's like, hey, Dwayne, he'd be like, you're the guy in the phone. Why are you dressed like a paramedic? Are you trying to trick
me? I'm a paramedic here. I'm here to help this guy that's been shot. Like Mulder is so mumblecore. Like there's
no
way he would recognize.
I assume they dressed him up like the paramedic and they're like, okay, so you want... Like, they say it where they're like, help the man if you can get anything else good. Like, they're literally saying to him, like, look, just go in, be a paramedic, and leave. And, yeah, he immediately throws that away. And they're probably thinking, like, there's probably some paramedic standing by in his underwear. Like, why did I have to give him my clothes for this?
Yeah.
He immediately broke the cover.
Because he comes in with an actual paramedic. The actual paramedic kneels down and starts helping the guy that Dwayne shot. Mulder looks over the real paramedic's shoulder for like 1 second and then turns around and starts talking to Dwayne about aliens.
Yeah, and he can't help himself.
No, it's like, why would this, like he immediately tips his hand because like why on earth would this paramedic know that Dwayne is ranting about aliens?
The paramedic is clearly the weirdo that he talked to earlier on the phone. I love the part where he's ranting at Dwayne about aliens and one of the hostages whispers, he's going to kill us.
Yep. It's when Mulder's telling Dwayne about his sister. It's like, it happened to my sister. And they're all like, oh my God, we're going to die.
We're going to die. Like you could expect at that point Mulder to be like, look, Dwayne, if you kill one of these hostages, they'll listen to you more, and then we can go get these aliens. All right, buddy? Mm-hmm. Like, yeah. I was waiting for him just to be right there holding guns as well with Dwayne. The shrink.
I can't see the aliens.
I can't fathom the shrink's thoughts because he's gagged the whole time and just eyes as wide as half dollars watching Mulder be like, my sister was also abducted, thinking like, oh my God, this is the guy they sent.
Mm-hmm.
We're all going to die. I'm going to get killed in a field.
This guy is going to drag me to some random mountain to wait for aliens.
Yep.
Wolves are going to eat my carcass.
Yep.
Dwayne's doctor, this has nothing really to do with anything, but he's freakishly skinny. Like, he looks like a creature performer.
Yeah, he does.
Like, he looks like a mime's skeleton.
Yeah. He looks like if James Cromwell got lost in the desert.
Yeah.
Yeah, like
He looks like if James Cromwell was Castaway.
Yes. James Cromwell in Castaway. That's it.
Delicious.
I don't know. He was fine. He sold the, oh my God, this FBI agent is going to get me killed look.
This guy would be a patient of mine.
Yes. Yeah, because holy shit, Mulder.
When Mulder starts ranting about Dwayne, or to Dwayne, about the aliens, pressing him for more information,
yes.
He starts asking him questions. It's like, how many were they? Dwayne, did they take you? Were they tall? Were they small? Diminutive. He clarifies what small means.
Yeah, that's a little weird, huh?
As if Dwayne wouldn't know that word. He says small and then clarifies diminutive.
Was he just raised on diminutive before he knew the word small?
I don't know.
Like, were his parents like, hey, we're going to do a fun experiment with this kid. We're gonna use weird words with him so that he grows up to be just a real weirdo.
Maybe he thought Dwayne might think he was referring to their personality. Like, is he like
Dwayne's
a big
like,
person?
Yeah, they
Does
were
he like
kinda,
fill up a room?
Yeah. They were kind of shy now that you mention it. Yeah, and Mulder there, he legitimately just wants a description of what he considers to be the actual criminal in this scenario. Because right. that's the thing. He does not see Dwayne as a criminal at all. Like, I mean, kind of, but he knows who the real bad guys are. And that's the aliens that visited them that he mm-hmm. is going to find. And he's going to punch the shit out of those aliens.
He's going to punch them so hard in their tiny little heads.
Mm-hmm.
Their diminutive heads.
Their diminutive fucking heads.
Right in their psychic brains.
Yep.
Just,
yep. Just kick them. Just kick them in their little
just
pillowcase
on
heads.
Them.
Yeah.
He blows this entire situation.
He sure does.
Because he wants to make sure he didn't look like an ass for talking to Dwayne about his sister.
Yep.
Like he finally gets Dwayne like calmed down, and Dwayne's stopped referring to himself in the third person, and he's like cogent and coherent and telling him things about his experience. And then Mulder is like, "You're not making any of this up, are you, Dwayne?"
That was amazing. Because here's what happens is we find out Dwayne Barry has a brain injury and it makes him a compulsive liar. And
or
Scully,
at least it's what it says in his file.
Scully shows up to the hostage negotiations too. Everybody's like, mm-hmm. "Who the hell is you?" And she's like, "It doesn't matter. I have information about this guy," which I don't know why no one else had this information about him, but okay. And she finds out about what his brain injury did. Mm-hmm. And she goes in Mulder's earpiece and she's like, "Listen, he's not the guy you think he is. He's a compulsive liar. He's not an abductee. And that's when Mulder, instead of being like, "That doesn't matter," because it doesn't, "This guy has my trust. We're letting hostages go." He's like, "This motherfucker is yeah. a liar. And I'm going
to
call
lying
him out.
To me yeah. about aliens." And to Mulder, that's the worst thing you could
yep.
lie to him
so
about.
So Dwayne Barry is standing in the door. There is a sniper laser on him. And Mulder mm-hmm. goes, "Dwayne, come here. Come here." And fucks up the sniper shot. So like you said, he can ask Dwayne if he's serious about the alien yeah. stuff.
"You serious, bro?
Like, I heard you're a fucking liar. Are you lying to me, Dwayne? Because
are you
what
clowning
the fuck,
me,
man?
Bro?
Yeah. That is insane."
Yeah. And Dwayne predictably flips the fuck out.
Yeah. And then he's like, "All right, go unlock the door, Dwayne."
Dwayne, you forgot to lock the door. So he sends Dwayne back to the door to get shot.
To get shot. Because he's like, "Okay, never mind.
Never mind.
My God,
Mulder.
Oh, my
God." So all Mulder managed to do, like they're telling him at the end, it's like, "Well, this is, I mean, you succeeded. You saved the day." And it's like, "Well, did he?"
Yeah.
All he really did was convince Dwayne to let two people go after he had already shot a third and then lure him in front of a window to be shot by the police.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. For in terms of negotiations, I don't think this is the happiest
day
ending.
Saved.
Yeah. Why did they send him in? Why would you send
know.
Him in? Why? After he did the ovaries like thing. And they're like, "Well, we better send this guy in."
Right. It's like sending a raccoon in to defuse a bomb.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, yeah, it's like sending a raccoon to defuse an angry raccoon. It's like, no, they're just going to get, both of them are going to get worked up. Yeah. And then you got two raccoons.
They're just going to be pissing and shitting and yeah. clawing everywhere.
Yeah, it is a
man.
Real problem.
It's a baffling situation.
And Mulder even knows later when CCH Pounder is like, "I wanted to show you something." Mulder's like, "Oh, I thought you were here. You were going to chew me out." And it's like, yeah, she should.
She should.
Just because of the ovaries thing. I can't stress that enough. That is a fucking creepy thing to say yeah. to a woman all close to her while ranting about fucking aliens.
Yeah.
Mulder. Should we get into fireable offenses? Do you have anything else for this?
I think I have maybe something else. Scully says to Mulder after it's all over, she says, because he says something like, "You know what? The thing is I believed him." And she says, "Sometimes when you want to believe so badly, you end up looking too hard." And that's Mulder's entire life.
Right. And she knows it. And she's just trying yeah. real hard to be gentle about that fact.
Right. It's just one of like 100 times that she gently tries to tell Mulder about himself.
Yes. And he's not
having it. He just never listens. And then later when he's in her office with one of the pieces of metal they took out of Dwayne Barry, she's like, "Well, I mean, it could be anything." And he's like, "Well, this at least proves that he was telling the truth." And she's like, "Well, it proves that something happened to him. Like he yeah. had these things implanted in him."
She says, "It could be shrapnel."
Mulder, he gets so moody about it. Like he's just sitting there pouting in his chair. And then she's like, "Well, you know, I can send it down to ballistics. We can figure this out quickly." He doesn't say a word. He gets up and walks out right. and shuts the door.
Right. He is an FBI agent.
He's so moody.
Yeah. And she, I would, can you imagine working with that? Can you imagine?
No, like, it would be a nightmare.
It would be a fucking nightmare. Because it's like, look, Mulder, I'm just saying that this might not be a goddamn alien implant.
Yeah.
Oh, and he's just like, me. And leaves. And like, doesn't it? So I would throw that thing
Scully,
out. I'd
be
like,
never right. take my alien stuff seriously. Yeah. And then he goes home with his Speedo and his 18 chairs. Mm-hmm.
He has so many chairs in his apartment. Chairs. That was from a previous episode. If you look in Mulder's apartment, that's one of my favorite things to do while watching any given show or any given episode is just pause whenever we get to Mulder's apartment to just see
what's there.
What's there. And
it's a fun game to pause when you see his office, too.
Yes. Oh, for sure. His office, I think, because we said this in the last episode, his apartment seems like it's just for show. It's just a place that makes, like, he learned a long time ago that if he puts up pictures and, like, puts furniture out, people won't take him away. They'll let him live there and they'll think he's normal. But his office is where he can really fucking work. Like, his office is where he would prefer to exist, I think.
Yeah, and I think he does.
Yes.
For most hours out of the week.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, Mulder has masturbated more in his office than at home.
Yes.
100%.
Accurate.
Yep. All right, let's get to
sometimes he doesn't even close the door. I'm
no,
sure.
no. Of course not.
It just doesn't occur to him.
Wearing that Speedo the whole time. All right, fireable offenses we're on to. This is times where he should have been fired, which I would say is this entire episode.
He really should have gotten some kind of reprimand for his behavior during that hostage negotiation.
He fucks up the sniper's shot. He purposefully puts him right and then
just sends him right back over.
Yeah, but that's like treason. Like that's FBI treason or whatever you would call it.
Whatever you call it.
I'm calling it FBI treason because they have a shot. That's like if he took the side of the criminal. Like the criminal was about to be taken out by his superiors, by the people he's working with, and he fucking distracted him so he would get out of the line of fire.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Like, and then, yeah, I'm sure when they were like, I can't believe you did that. And he's like, well, I sent him back in the line of fire after. And they're like,
you
that's
guys
besides
still got to
the
shoot
point.
Him.
Yeah. That is. That was something else.
It was pretty great.
Yeah. He should get pretty fired for this.
Yeah, at the very least, he should be sentenced to like 4 more months of wiretaps.
Yeah, something.
Like he should get something.
He could, I mean, he purposefully fucked up. What if Duane Barry shot a hostage after that?
Right. Yeah, if he like, had killed somebody after that, he would have been in real trouble.
Yeah, that would have been Mulder's fault. And you know what? He sort of does, because what if had Duane Barry got shot the first time, that took him out for good, guess who's not getting abducted? Like,
is it Scully?
It is Scully. Like,
it's Scully.
Mulder has a chance to end the hostage situation and purposefully fucks it up. And like, I think what makes that so damning is he's not doing it to save Duane Barry's life. Because
no,
he sends him right back.
He just wants to ask him about aliens.
Yeah, he's like, oh, before this hostage situation ends, I got to ask you a question.
Yeah, you got to tell me something about these aliens.
And then he gives the answer, and he's like, okay, well, go back over there, will you? That is bad. That's some bad, bad FBI-ing is what that is. That's the official term.
Yeah, bad FBI-ing. They shouldn't have called him in the first place.
No, and I guess we should get into the next section for that reason. Which is name the enabler.
Yes.
This is where we identify who exactly was the main enabler of Mulder in this episode. And I would say it was CCH Pounder.
Yeah. And I mean, I guess it's the shadow government that sort of technically set that in order, right?
Right. Yeah, that's true. But like the moment, because again, they probably expected just some guy who was into UFO abductions. Mm-hmm. And when they got Mulder, they should have been like, we need to send this back. This is not what we ordered.
Right, like as soon as he got off the phone, that first interaction, and then started screaming about alien abductions and women's ovaries, like she should have been like, all right, we're all done here.
Yeah,
like,
I don't need
we
this.
Don't need to use this guy for anything.
Yeah, I don't need your shit. Because
right, because she has like a seasoned negotiator there, and he's like, oh, he'll walk you through it. Well, then just fucking have him do it.
Yeah. Because if someone took a bunch of hostages and was like, everybody has worms in them and I'm trying to dig the worms out, they wouldn't be like, okay, let's get a worm expert here. Like, it, the fact that the UFO shit, like, again, I know that it's the shadow government probably who did it, but, like, it is so illogical to be like, oh, well, we're going to need a UFO guy to talk to this guy.
Mm-hmm.
No, you don't. You need a goddamn negotiator. You need Samuel L. Jackson from The Negotiator to negotiate.
You want my blood? Take it.
Mm-hmm.
It's from The Negotiator.
It is.
Yeah, the whole situation is baffling.
A lot of people should get fired for a lot of this. And Dwight Berry escaped from the hospital and fucking
easily. He sure does.
Easily.
He wakes up mid-alien abduction.
Yeah.
And just fucking kills a man with a fire extinguisher.
Yeah, like, I know this is the shadow government again, but we don't, I mean, we don't know watching this, but if this was all them, like, fucking figuring it all out, like Sean Penn in the game, like, then there would still be people they'd throw under the bus. There'd still be people held accountable for this, because just a lot of people are fucking up in this episode.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Man. Yeah, what a carnival of errors.
Yeah, and it's just going to get crazier in the next episode.
It should just be, like, the end of this episode should just be, like five or six people. Like Mulder, Krycek, CCH Pounder, The Negotiator, and really all the agents on site in a room with, like, in front of, like, a full, like, congressional hearing.
Yeah.
Being like, what the hell happened? What was it? What were you doing?
He said, what about your ovaries? Oh, Mulder. At least just Skinner, like, reading the file of this, just being real bummed. Oh, my God. This was, yeah. And this is what gets Scully abducted. Just a series of bad ideas.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's time for Crazy Like a Fox.
You know what? I think you're right. I think you might be right. So this is the part of the show where we assign a numerical rating from 1 to 10 of just how crazy Mulder was.
That's correct.
One being present at zero hostage negotiations that he nearly blows just so he can shout at a guy about aliens. And 10 being more than one?
Mm-hmm. Maybe
more
10.
Than one of those things happening?
Maybe 10 of those things happening?
10 of those things happening?
10
different negotiations that they didn't even call him. Him wandering into a hostage situation off the street and shouting at the gunman about aliens. That's a 10.
Tom, I might go with an 8.
This is pretty high.
This is pretty high. He risks the lives of hostages.
He is actively endangering several people's lives.
Mm-hmm. He refuses to end a hostage negotiation so he can ask a guy a question.
Yep.
About aliens. Would you say an 8? Would you go higher? Like, this is pretty fucking crazy.
Man.
We've never broken 8.
We haven't broken 8. I don't think we've broken 7.
We've had an 8 before, I'm pretty sure. Isn't Ice? I think Ice was an 8.
Ice might have been a 7.
Let me look. I got them. Oh no, where'd our ratings go? They're typically a linkable file, but they look like they're gone. That's not good.
Well, we can do like version history and find it.
Yeah, we could. And we're gonna. Should I do that right now?
Yeah, probably make all these people wait.
Oh god.
I'm thinking, I don't know, I think I'm good with an 8, maybe a 9.
This is hard. let's do 8.
Let's do 8.
Yeah, I'm scared to do a 9 right now, but I'm pretty sure, I'm almost certain Ice was an 8. We can always go back and check, but because he's the guy who's there to keep everybody together, and he immediately goes into, no one's getting my blood, like, unprompted.
Yeah.
He loses his fucking mind in that episode. Yeah, okay, I'm happy with an 8.
Yeah, I think an 8 is fair and accurate.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm not gonna...
Nobody's gonna fight us on that.
Mm-hmm. I'm still searching for the, where things went wrong, and everybody's going to listen to this happen.
Mm-hmm. That's a good idea. That's a good idea for our free episode.
Mm-hmm.
so, yeah, that's a sode.
Oh, wait, I found it. Guys.
Oh, you did?
Everybody, I found it. I found it. Okay. Oh, this. Oh, I'm so glad I found it. You know why?
Why?
Because we haven't broken a 7 before.
I fucking told you we hadn't.
I know, and you were right.
Those
you
are the
were
words
right.
that came out of my face.
You were right. You were right. You
I
were
was.
Right. I'm saying it. You're hearing it. You're hearing it. You're right. This is a hell of a thing.
Mm-hmm.
We've only done sevens, and our sevens have been EBE.
Yeah.
And ICE.
Yep.
Wow, EBE, our first was eight, you guys.
When he ran deep into a facility just to get a peek of an alien.
Right.
Where tripping over a fence in the process, almost gets shot to death by the military.
He escaped like a cat.
Yeah.
Oh, shit. Our first eight. I feel like I want to celebrate or something.
I mean, I'll tell you what we can do to celebrate.
What can we do to celebrate?
We could tell all these people about our Patreon.
Oh, okay. I guess that's a good idea. Guys, this is this is normally an exclusive podcast. And so if you want to hear the rest, including the second part, Ascension, to this episode, you can go to our Patreon at patreon.com/gamefullyunemployed. Not only do we have this exclusive podcast, but we have another one called Fox. This is the one called Fox Mulder is a Maniac. We have the one called Tom and Jeff Watch Batman.
Yeah.
It's great. It's fucking fantastic.
It's me and Jeff May watching all of Batman, just all of it.
Yep.
Every appearance of Batman.
Yeah, until they, you know, kill each other eventually.
Or until the sun dies.
Yeah, whatever happens first.
Whatever happens first.
Yeah. We also have a TeePublic. TeePublic.com/stores/gamefullyunemployed. We got Fox Mulder is a Maniac shirts there. We got all sorts of shirts, including Tom and Jeff Watch Batman shirts. Something called a Trash Bullock is our newest
Trash
one.
Trash Bullock, yeah, that's a new one. There's also a really awesome Fox Mulder poster.
Yes, made by Styling Hodge. It's fucking gorgeous.
Yeah, it's really great.
Yeah, and it's in t-shirt form as well.
Yeah.
So check all that shit out. You should also leave us a review on Apple Podcasts if you have the time.
Yeah, do it.
Just for the fuck of it. I mean, why not?
You know,
what do you have to lose?
Write whatever you want.
Yeah. Yeah, fucking write whatever you want. Talk about aliens and ovaries. It don't matter.
Tell us what you think.
What you think aliens do to ovaries. Yes. Yeah,
do they juggle them? I don't know.
They probably juggle them, right?
I imagine it's a juggling thing. Mm-hmm. They're really big into juggling.
Yeah, yeah. That's one of those things on the Slack channel that they're all very concerned about. Like, could you guys stop juggling ovaries?
Yeah, it's really distracting. Mm-hmm. It's not conducive for the workplace.
No juggling ovaries in the break room.
Please no. Yeah. Clean up your cows and clean up your ovaries, please. We don't need any
cow ovaries.
Don't forget your ovaries in the microwave.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Leave them there over the weekend.
No. Uncool.
Yeah. Goddamn aliens.
Hmm.
That's a sode. Let's get the hell out of here.
Okay. Bye, everybody.
Goodbye. Enjoy your Sunday or whenever in time you're listening to this.
Enjoy your future.
Mm-hmm. Enjoy the future. Hope it's a good one.
Yeah, not
full
dystopian.
Full of ovaries.
May your future be bright with ovaries.
Be laden with ovaries. Yeah. Burdened with them. Encumbered. May your future be encumbered with ovaries.
Oh, that's the new goodbye. That's the official. Every episode now, we end it like that.
Oh, yeah, we're definitely sticking to that. Yeah. Tune in next week when we're definitely going to say that.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Goodbye.
Bye, everybody. Artwork for Fox Mulder is a Maniac is produced by Starlene Hodge. Follow her on Twitter at StarleneX, that's Starlene with an X, or check out her delightful webcomic at rubywhipple.com.